For our Bible readings, we're going to turn first to page 211 in the Church Bibles, and then secondly we'll turn to page 1056. But first of all, page 211, the 33rd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Turn to verse 1. Which is where we shall begin reading. Let us hear this portion of God's word. This is the blessing which Moses, the man of God, blessed the people of Israel with before his death. He said, "The Lord came from Sinai, and dawned from Seir upon us. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came from the 10,000s of holy ones with flaming fire at his right hand. Yes, he loved his people. All his holy ones were in his hand. So they followed in your footsteps, receiving direction from you. When Moses commanded us a law as a possession for the assembly of Jacob, thus the Lord became king in Jeshurun. When the heads of the people were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together. Let Reuben live and not die, but let his men be few. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Let us now turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, page 1056. Page 1056. Luke 17, and we shall begin reading at the 11th verse. Verse 11 of Luke 17. Let us hear this portion of God's written word. On the way to Jerusalem, he, that is Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we want to turn, please, to page 211. Page 211 in our church Bibles. And we have before us this afternoon the sixth verse of the chapter. I do apologise, it's so warm in here today. We didn't realise the heating engineers had turned up the frostat from about 4 degrees to over 10 degrees. And we only discovered that at 3:30 or thereabouts, when we realised it had got very warm as the day had progressed, and it wasn't just the sun outside that had made the building warm. That obviously was a factor. Primarily it was the heating was on, and it was on because the frostat had been turned up. Had no idea that had happened. Well, that's now been corrected. The heat's been off for about the last hour, but you wouldn't think it has been at all. Anyway, we're looking at verse 6. I do apologise for that. We're looking at verse 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 33. Let's ask for God's blessing. O most merciful Father, who has given to us your written word, and who calls us to let your written word dwell in us richly. Lord, we come before you acknowledging that without you we can do nothing. Acknowledging that we can do nothing that is truly pleasing in your sight or truly beneficial for our spiritual well-being. Lord, we're totally, utterly, completely dependent upon you, the God of grace and mercy. And Lord, we ask you to come to us now. And we ask you to overrule and to bless. We ask you, Lord, to speak and give us ears that open to hearing your word. For Jesus Christ, our Saviour's sake. Amen. You will recall that the 33rd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy contains the blessings that Moses, the man of God, pronounced on each and every tribe of the people of Israel in those days. Where does he begin? Well, verse 6 indicates he begins with the tribe of Reuben. Why does he begin with the tribe of Reuben? One answer to that question lies in the fact that Reuben was the firstborn of Jacob. You remember that Reuben had two wives. Sorry, Jacob had two wives. He loved Rachel and he wanted to marry Rachel, but he found that his father-in-law deceived him and gave him Leah on his marriage day rather than Rachel. But he works on for Laban, because he loves Rachel. And he ends up with two wives, not according to the plan or purposes of Almighty God, who, as we know from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden, has appointed one man, one wife, for as long as one or other or both live. He was the firstborn. He was the fruit of that marriage to Leah. And It was the practice in those days, not just amongst the Israelites, but amongst other peoples. And to a certain extent, it's still the practice that we can see across the world in these days, that the firstborn had a special blessing. In those days, they would have a double portion. The other members of the family, a single portion of the possessions that were shared out, handed on. Now, here is Reuben, the firstborn, and so we can find ourselves saying, well, it doesn't surprise us that he's mentioned first. But let us dig a little deeper. Let's remind ourselves of the history of this man, Reuben, from whom the tribe of Reuben is descended. He was a man who made a grave mistake. He was a man who, at one point in his life, let his passions overrule. Instead of keeping himself in check, instead of keeping himself on the path that God would have us walk, the way of holiness, he erred and he strayed. If you turn back to the book of Genesis, and if you turn to the 35th chapter in that book, and to the 22nd verse, you see something of what that man did wrong. You see that he was guilty of incest. Now, that is a sexual sin of which God is undoubtedly displeased. We read in verse 22 of Genesis 35, while Israel lived in that land, Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard of it. That's all we're told in Genesis chapter 35. But we discover later in the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis, when Jacob comes to bless his sons, that Jacob says this of Reuben: Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the first fruits of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. That sounds good, doesn't it? That sounds encouraging when you read and hear the first part of the blessing that Jacob pronounces over his firstborn son. But we must read on. We must read on from verse 3 into verse 4 to the second part of the blessing that was pronounced by the father on this son. Unstable as water, you shall not have preeminence. Why not? Well, the reason is given. Because you went up to your father's bed and you defiled it. He went up to my couch. You see, it's so easy in Genesis chapter 35 to think that what Reuben did didn't appear to have any consequence. But you need to get on to chapter 49 and many events that have happened in between. Years have passed, and you realize that there are consequences for the wrong that Reuben committed. He who should have had the preeminence shall not have it because of the sexual sin of which he was guilty. And when you read on into the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, you see the same point being restated. He doesn't deserve any more the preeminence that would normally be given to the firstborn son. But yet, years later, when Moses walks this earth, and when Moses is used of God to bless the people of Israel, just before they cross the Jordan into the land of promise, we find that this man is mentioned first. He's mentioned first. God is a God of grace. God is a God of abundant grace. God is the God who blesses the undeserving. Surely that's a great lesson that we're reminded of right at the head of the list of the blessings that are pronounced over the tribes of Israel by Moses. That's what's being pointed to, surely, when we hear the record of the blessings. God is a God of abundant grace. What does Reuben deserve? He deserves to be punished. He deserves even to be blotted out, and his descendants too. Because if he'd been blotted out, he wouldn't have had any descendants in the tribe that bears his name. God deals with this man. Now, there are good features to Reuben, let's not forget that. You remember the boys, the sons of Jacob, were jealous of Joseph. And they had this scheme and plan to get rid of Joseph. At one point, they wanted Joseph dead. But then they come to sell him to traders who take him down to Egypt. And when you read of those events also in the book of Genesis, you see that Reuben, the firstborn, is endeavoring to have an influence for good upon his brothers. Yes, he allowed him to be put into the pit where there was no water. That was a pretty cruel thing to do in a warm climate. And he had his plan that he would pull him out of the pit later. But what he didn't know was in between times, his brothers had sold him to traders who took him down, as I say, to Egypt. So you can see something of the concern that Reuben showed as the firstborn in setting an example to his brothers. He's a weak man, and no wonder, you see, his father describes him as unstable like water. Water can splosh here and there, can't it? So easily. You can have a container You can even have a simple cup of tea. But you have to be careful as you transport it. Because if the angle is wrong, you'll slop it. It's not going to stay fixed. Reuben was unstable, like water. But what blessing is pronounced upon this man's successors, upon his tribe? Well, listen to these words of compassion, these words of grace. Let Reuben live and not die. We said just now, this man deserved to die. You see, it's as though Moses is being used of God to remind the people of Reuben that the head of the tribe deserved to die. But here is God saying, let these people live and not die. Let them prosper. And prosper they did, to a certain extent. Perhaps not as much as some of the other tribes, but they were preserved. And they were able to have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to love and to serve Almighty God. Now it's true, let's remind ourselves, they didn't go and occupy land in the land of Canaan to the west of the Jordan. They occupied land on the eastern side of Jordan. They saw it, and they saw that it was good where they went. And they asked if they could occupy it, and that was granted. But they promised that they would help God's people when it came to crossing the Jordan and going into the land of promise. And so the mighty warriors of the tribe of Reuben joined forces with others to fight for them. They knew that their inheritance was secure on the eastern side of the Jordan, but now the other tribes are going to enter the land of promise, and they must occupy it. But there are occupying forces already who need to be dealt with. Well, the people of Reuben gave a helping hand. Let Reuben live and not die. And what God said through Moses to Reuben long ago is what God says to every sinner who deserves to die but who embraces Christ by faith. Let him, let her live and not die, because they are enrobed with the robe of Christ's righteousness, which is what pleases Almighty God. That's what he wants to see. Men and women, teens, children, embracing Christ and having his righteousness reckoned as theirs. And to those people, God says, they shall live and not die. The Lord Jesus tells us, doesn't he? I'm the resurrection and the life. And he tells us that he who believes in him, though he perish, yet shall he live. We deserve to perish like Reuben of old because of our sins. Because let's never forget, any and every sin is an offense to Almighty God. And because each and every sin is an offense to Almighty God, because each and every sin falls short of the perfection that God requires of mankind, each and every sin deserves damnation. But God says that the one who embraces Christ the righteous one, he shall live. And he shall live forever. But then notice the second part of the blessing, and this is where many people would not be happy with the way the translators have translated the second part of the blessing here in verse 6. We read in the English Standard Translation, "Let Reuben live and not die, but let his men be few." Well, it can be read that way, but it can also be read another way. You see, what the translator has done here is the translator has done what is frequently done when translating Hebrew into English. The translator has said the negative particle, the word not, that you have in the first part of the verse, "Let Reuben live and not die," just applies to the word die. Now that's a possible way of understanding the text, but it is also permissible. It may be an unusual thing in some scholars' minds, but it's not an unknown thing. It is also possible for the negative particle to apply to what follows after the word die, as well as to the word die. In which case, the reading would be, "Let Reuben live and not die, or his men be few. Let not him and the people descended from him die. Let them not be few." That is a possible interpretation. And certainly that makes great sense. Because although the tribe of Reuben did not become the largest of the tribes, when you look at the censuses that we find in Scripture, you have to also say that the tribe of Reuben was not few in number. They were quite sizable in number. And so when you look at the history, and when you look at the way that language can work, how this could be translated, you find yourself saying, the blessing given is that the peoples of this tribe are going to know God, enabling them to continue in existence. And they're also going to know God giving to them a posterity, successors, who will not be few in number. God's blessing upon the tribe of Reuben. God is the God who blesses his people. That's what chapter 33 of Deuteronomy tells us without a shadow of doubt. We will see as we consider next what is said of the tribe of Judah and then of the tribe of Levi, that God's purposes for his people, and we go through the other tribes in succession, God's purposes for his people is that they will prosper and flourish. Their responsibility is to walk humbly and obediently with him. Those who love the Lord and serve the Lord will be those who know God's blessing upon them in this life, and then in all its fullness, all the fullness of the blessing that God promises his people in the age that is to come, in the new heavens and in the new earth. Some people will tell you that this blessing here is put in the terms of a prayer. Let. That's how it begins, doesn't it? Let Reuben live and not die. Let his men, picking up the negative particle again, not be few. So that's what Moses prays for the people of Reuben. And that's a prayer that you and I can learn from, and that you and I can use as a pattern prayer. Let us pray that this group of Christians here, that group of Christians over there, may live and not die, and prosper and flourish. May we see the blessing of Almighty God poured out upon his people in that place, in these circumstances. God is the God who delights in lavishing his grace on the undeserving. That's what Reuben tasted. And that's what the successors of Reuben tasted. And that's what every believer tastes in every single generation. So may we know God's blessing. And may we plead for it too. Let's pray. O God of abundant grace, O God of amazing love and mercy, O God of compassion, look with favour, we beseech of you, O Lord, on your people in these days. Lord, look with favour upon your children who've fallen into sin. Look with favour, Lord, upon those of your church who even now are backsliding. O Lord our God, restore them. Draw them back. And pour out your richest blessings upon them. Lord, have mercy upon us, we beseech of you. For Lord, we recognize that though we may not be guilty of the dreadful sin of which Reuben was guilty in his day, almost 3,000 years ago, Lord, we know that we are those who can prove unfaithful to you, the living God. We know that we're those, Lord, who can err and stray instead of walking that straight and narrow way that you would have us walk. But, O Lord, how it thrills us to know that you're the God of mercy and the God of grace. And the God who doesn't desire the death of a sinner, but that he should live. Oh Lord, grant that we would live. And grant, oh Lord, that we would not die, according to your promise. And grant too, oh Lord, that we would not be few in number. Lord, we may be few in number at present, but Lord, we long for the day when every seat in this place would be filled with those who are seeking you, the living God. Oh Lord, we long for the day when the peoples of this area will flock to hear the word of God and to sing the praise of God with your people. Teach us, Lord, we pray, to be looking upward to you for blessing. Teach us, Lord, we pray, like Moses of old, to plead and to pray before your throne for blessing. Teach us, Lord, to be like that widow of old who wouldn't give up, but who kept going to the judge for justice. So may we not cease praying, but go on praying, go on knocking at the doors of heaven until you pour out the richest blessings that are so urgently needed in these days. For Jesus' sake, amen.